Winona Forever is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For more podcasts about movies and nostalgia, head on over to cageclub.me. Hi, I'm Lindsay Gibb.
And I'm Rekha Tulsaram.
And this is Winona Forever. Hey, so on this Winona Wednesday, we're talking about Sex and Death 101, a film which, for some reason, before I saw it, I really was convinced it was going to be an anthology film, just by the name. I think I've said that in like three different episodes before now. And oddly, The Ten was the anthology movie, which was the movie right before this. So that's just a weird coincidence, I guess. But in our Heather's episode, we talked a little bit about Sex and Death because Heather's was written by Daniel Waters, and Daniel Waters wrote and directed this movie.
Correct.
So this was a movie that, Rekha, you didn't like?
Well, okay. Now, things have changed.
So, oh, okay.
I watched, I don't know when the hell I first watched this, but I had it on DVD and I watched, and I think, you know, this one of these films, like you watch it with the wrong person and you're never going to like it kind of thing.
Right.
And I watched it with like my roommate who was much younger than me and who didn't have time for it. She was just like, what the fuck is this? And I think it was okay. And I watched again for this and I didn't mind it.
Yes, I also didn't mind.
Yeah, it was fine. I sat through it. I didn't get bored. I laughed.
That was the key.
It was funny.
Element of this was that it wasn't boring and it was actually compelling. Like,
and
I wanted to know what would
really
happen.
That offensive. Like, I thought it was more offensive back then. I think I was more like maybe a more prudish or something, but it was good.
Especially given the subject matter. So I should describe what this is. So it is, oh, I always forget the name of the guy. You called
Simon Baker?
Yeah, it's Simon Baker. In our Heather's episode, you called him the hunky guy, and then we had to look up who he was.
Oh, yeah.
We're like, who's the hunky guy? Anyways, it was Simon Baker. So Simon Baker is a hunky guy who is going to marry his like fiance,
the woman from Modern Family.
Yeah, I was gonna say the woman from Modern Family. Anyway, he's emailed this list of names, and it becomes apparent that the first like 21 names or something on the list are all women that he slept with, and then
29.
Oh, good, you remember the number. But it's a list of 101 names, and so they start to realize that like it's all the women he's going to sleep with, and how is that possible? Because he's about to get married. So yeah, basically on his bachelor party or something, he kind of accidentally has sex with this woman.
Yeah.
That is the next name on the list, and that sort of spurs the like obsession with the list.
Yeah, completing the list, finding the next person potential on the list. Yeah. And he's just, it takes over.
And so, yeah, it's another movie where Winona is not the main character. She's very much the like secondary story in this.
Yes. But she's in it throughout the film.
Yes.
But very small, like very small parts, but it is a significant role.
Yeah. She's alluded to a lot throughout it. Like there's a lot of like people doing graffiti that refers to her. Like
her alias is Death Knell.
Yeah. Because she's like this woman who's not exactly a serial killer. She's like a serial, like putting people in comas person. Yeah. But it's all like related to like sexual assault and like, not hierarchies, but the like power dynamics between men and women. And
like she preys
power
on the creeps and puts them in comas pretty much.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
And everyone
and all the women in the movie,
the women in the movie have like shirts with her name on it and they're
dressed like her.
Yeah. They're calling, you know, saying, you know, she's president. Like they're just, you know,
they love her.
They love her. And who wouldn't?
Yeah, exactly. Winona's great. Cool. So yeah, this movie was better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
In part because I think like we hadn't talked a lot about this era before we got to it. And this era has not been good.
Yeah. So you're expecting so much worse.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Based on what we've heard so far and or like what we've seen so far in the 2000s and the fact that it seemed like you didn't like it. I was like, uh-oh, this one's going to be bad. But that's maybe why we liked it so much, because we had really low expectations.
For sure. But it was actually, yeah, it was funny. Enjoyable. There was, you know, good act, you know, good, yeah. Great cast. I liked that they casted Mindy Cohen as like his lesbian assistant who, you know, kind of guides him and, you know, coaches him through all his dating.
Yeah, she was a really good character. Yeah. She had like a good attitude and like told him off and didn't take his crap. Though he didn't give a lot of crap. He didn't seem like a bad boss. He was just really focused on his like list of women he was going to have sex with.
But like we you know, I think the world needs to see more of Natalie from The Facts of Life. Yeah. Like, she is like one of the best characters in The Facts of Life. And, you know, in this role, she was perfect. Like, you know, she needs to be in a sitcom or something,
right? I actually did see her recently in something. RuPaul has a game show.
Oh.
And she was on it. She was one of the contestants.
Sweet.
There you go. She does random things like that. But, yeah, I'd like to see more of her because she was really good in this. So yeah, Daniel Waters back with Winona. Yeah. Maybe it was good. It worked out.
Yeah, it worked out, I guess.
She needs to get back with her early days partners in film. And
yeah, because they, you know, they wanted to like, I think they wanted to work on Heathers 2 together.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that ever happened, but I guess this one came about.
Yeah.
It worked.
Yep.
Simon Baker was good.
Yeah, he was. I mean, there was one, like, I found the beginning of the film distracting, and I don't know if it was something about the quality of the film that I was watching, though I rented it off of Google Play, so I don't know why there would be a bad quality thing. But I don't know if you noticed this. It looked like a TV show, the way it was filmed, and, like, the set right at the beginning when he's, like, walking around outside in particular, it looked like Buffy or Gilmore Girls or something, like the outdoor scenes.
Really? I didn't notice.
It looked exactly like, you know, Buffy. So
yeah, of course.
I can give you this reference and you'll know it. When Giles had the magic shop and like, mm-hmm. it looked like
that
right outside of the magic shop. That was like...
Where Dawn would be sitting on the curb and everyone would be ignoring her. That
was what the whole beginning of this film looked like to me. And I was distracted by that, thinking like,
there was some sort of
like
set lookingness to it.
Yeah.
They probably had like zero budget, but yeah.
Yeah. But I got over that and started to like it. And yeah. We noted in the last episode that Patton Oswalt was in this.
Yeah. His character's name was Fred. He worked with Alpha and Beta and he was Fred.
Yeah. Which was...
But
enjoyable.
They were the guys that like kind of operated this thing, this machine called the Oracle, which is what spit out all these, his conquests,
the lists.
So there was other lists that got spit out. Some people got sent dates.
Yeah, they said most people got the date they were going to die.
Yeah. And so they run into one of the guys and it ends up that Winona like is pursuing him, and then she wasn't going to kill him or put him in a coma.
Yeah.
But then he falls off the balcony
and dies.
And dies.
Right, because most of Winona's victims or whatever, they just were in comas.
Yeah.
They weren't dead. So the fact that this guy was going to die was...
And I think that actor is actually in a Buffy episode, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, really?
Or he's in something. He's like one of those TV show actors for sure.
Right.
The little guy.
Interesting. Didn't recognize him.
There's a lot of funny lines. When Winona catches like the Parkside peeper, you know, the guy in the newsstand... She kind of confronts him at the news, like the creepy newsstand guy who's looking at porn or whatever. He says, like, oh, is this some feminazi mindfuck game?
Right.
And I thought that was like, oh yeah, this is good. And then Meeps was there and she's like, I like this movie.
I just picture Meeps like walking behind the couch and not like watching this movie, but just pausing and going, I like this movie. Just like during the 10, this is not okay.
Yeah.
No, it was not. But this was, I expected, given the plot that it was like him just trying to sleep with all these women, I thought it would be a lot worse than it was. There wasn't a lot of bad stuff. There was like one part where his friends seem envious and just want to hear about him sleeping with all these women because they're married men with kids. And the women are like making fun of him because he slept with somebody's niece. She was 19 and a half, he said. And then they're all like, ew, and like yelling at him and stuff. So then I was like, where is this going? But that was like the worst of it, I think.
And like, yeah, they like really gave it to him for doing that. Like, it was like they acknowledged all the shitty stuff that was happening. You know what I mean?
They didn't just let it go.
No.
And he also, I feel like when he was pursuing Leslie Bibb, which I have to say, when I first heard of Leslie Bibb, the thing that came out of that for me was just how close her name is to mine. And so she's always just been that person to me. I don't think I've seen her in very many movies, but every time her name comes up, I'm like, that's my name, practically. Lindsay Gibb, Leslie Bibb. Anyways, so she's the character in this that he kind of like falls in love with and wants to be with and thinks that her name is the next on the list, because this is the point where he's buried the list so that he doesn't obsess over
it. So all he knows is Dr. Murr.
Right.
That's the only... So her name's Dr. Miranda, so he assumes it's her, and he is trying his hardest to have sex with her, and she will not.
He's being, like, he's not being...
Not aggressive, but, like, he's, like, they have, like, a very close relationship. They're all, like, they're basically in a platonic relationship.
Right. And she does say at some point, like, oh, I think, you know, probably one day we'll sleep together or something like that, but... Then,
and she also implied that she has slept with somebody else while they're, you know, been doing the things. And she also thinks he looks like Bam Bam and, you know, it just,
from the Flintstones. Yeah.
Just kind of.
She starts calling him that. It's a, so like, Bam Bam, come on, let's go. So they have a really great relationship. It's just unfortunate that like he wants it to be more and really expects it to be more because he's obsessed with that list. He can't really enjoy it for what it is, which is just like this like best friendship that they have going. And so she writes a kid's book that he kind of inspired her to write. It's like based on something that she thought about, but he just sort of like framed it as a book to her. And she was like, oh, my God, that's what I have to do. So she does that. And then she wants to celebrate it with him. And then he tries to kiss her. And she's like, OK, seriously, like we're best friends. You're ruining this. Like this is not ever going to happen.
And she dropped her wine glass and it shattered and she was about to leave and then she slipped on the glass and died.
Yeah, falls and like hits her head on a planter and breaks her neck. Yeah, you hear this like sound. Yeah, so you know she's dead. She died. And he like, oh, that's the other time where I thought, okay, this is going to go south, is he goes into the room to see her. And he is so obsessed with this list that he's about to try to have sex with her dead body.
Kind of, yeah.
But he doesn't do it. He just gets really sad and cries about her being dead and, like, fully doesn't. But, like, it got to the point where you thought that was maybe going to happen. And I was like, no, don't do that.
I was like, I don't remember this part.
Right. But I guess it's like, because he's so obsessed with this list, he thinks it has to happen for him to move on. But then he goes out because he can't do that, which is good. He's good. He's a normal person who can't have sex with his friend's dead body or any dead body, really. And he meets a doctor in the hallway who consoles him, and he finds that her name is
the doctor's like, oh, you poor good looking man.
What was her name? It was Dr. Murr something.
Something Stone. Dr. Murr Stone.
Oh, and by that time, did he not know that the name wasn't hers? He dug it up. He went in the backyard and dug up the list before he saw her name.
That's right. So he knew it was somebody else. But
did he do that like after she died? I guess so.
Yeah.
I don't remember the timeline of that exactly.
I'm not sure. Yeah, he dug up the list though.
Yeah. So she was next.
I just have a line written down that says, sports metaphors aren't my thing. Mindy Cohn says that to Simon Baker at the one point because he's trying to describe his anguish. And he's like, it's like if I'm in the thing with the net. And she's like, you know, she walks in. She's like, sports metaphors are my thing. And I was like, same.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I'm not going to get those either. Like, same.
You can like tell me all you want here. Like, let's just talk, you know.
We have already established on this podcast that you, me, and Chris don't know anything about sports.
Oops.
Oops. Oh, well.
One of the first people, this is just nothing, but that Winona puts in a coma is the guy, Malachi Sanchez, I think his name is, and he's in Catwalk, which is Canadian.
There's another Canadian reference. I think she's Canadian anyway. She was on Much Music, Amanda Walsh.
Oh, yeah, I saw her in there. I was like, what's she doing in there?
Well, she left Much Music to be in movies.
Yeah, she was in Austin Powers. I remember seeing her there.
I forgot about that. She was in a Canadian movie that I saw that had Angel from Buffy. Oh. He starred in it. Wow, I should really look up what that's called. Anyway, back when I used to almost exclusively write about Canadian films, that movie came out.
Do you remember the TV show Catwalk?
Oh, yeah.
I have it all the episodes on discs.
Oh, Atlas used to hang out in the Bramley City Center when I worked there.
That is
There was
very
a lot
cool.
of talk about how he was a male stripper in Brampton.
I could see that.
Nah. I don't know why you specify male stripper. He was a man. So, but people do seem to say that.
That's true.
Anyway.
We digress.
And Matt was friends with someone else that was on Catwalk. Who?
Neve Campbell? No, I'm just
no, kidding. Not Neve Campbell. The guy who dated her, though.
Jesse. I actually ran into Jesse from Catwalk in Ottawa.
Oh, really?
And I said, you're Jesse from Catwalk.
I feel like his character wasn't named Jesse, though. Now I have to look up Catwalk. Like, he dated her in real life, maybe not on the show. Why?
For the non-Canadians and also non, like, I don't know, YTV watchers, Catwalk was, like, this show that was on a kids' television network at night. And it was featured, you know, young 20-somethings trying to make it in Toronto. And they were in a band, and they played in a loft. And Neve Campbell... This is before Party of Five. So this was her first role.
But it was set in America.
It was set in America?
It was from 92 to 94.
I remember the episode where Sierra buys a gun. Maybe it was set in America.
Sierra.
I thought they used American money, but it was
there's Sierra, there's Mary,
so
Jesse, Atlas.
Johnny is the guy that Matt was friends with.
Oh, Johnny.
Karam or
that's,
something?
That's yeah. That's the guy that was Winona's first victim. I don't know what I said his name was.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Matt didn't point out, but maybe he wasn't really watching it with me.
Oh. Yeah, no, that's him. Johnny from Catwalk.
God.
And Johnny from Catwalk was also in the L word. But anyway, that's Johnny from Catwalk.
Interesting.
I think his name's... Oh, Karam Malachi Karam. Sanchez. Yeah, yeah. And I said his name is Malachi Sanchez, which is what... But it's Karam. I only know
well, there you go. I guess he hung out in the music scene. I think that, like, the music scene. The Toronto, like, maybe punk scene. That's where Matt would have met him. Anyways, we digress. Well, I'm glad. You know what? We haven't done a Canadian connection in a while. And so here we are.
Fine.
It was time. Yeah, so Winona's storyline in this is kind of, very secondary, very much just like her sometimes meeting these dudes.
Mm-hmm. In the background, and you see like the progress of her murder or her coma things.
Spree.
Coma spree.
Yeah.
You know, in the newspaper, there's always a picture and a story about it. And like she always leaves a message when she does it, like writes some sort of like
in
poetic.
Spray paint.
Yeah, in red spray paint, some sort of thing like blah, 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 blah. I don't know what the heck she says, but. So then I guess like the whole thing of the story is that, you know, the last name on his list is,
her name,
Jillian DeRay,
right.
Which is her name because she leaves her ID at one of the, you know, her victim's sites. And so the ID is on, you know, all the TVs and cause you know, the men can't handle this woman at large. That's another thing about this film. Like all the men are losing their minds. That
right.
Death knell is out there, you know?
Yeah, it's very much like an analogy, I feel like, for like sexually transmitted diseases or something. Like guys are scared that they can't just have sex freely because there's something out there that's stopping them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, it's also very directly referring to like sexual assault because so many times, I think a couple of times in this, Winona says like women don't get to not fear these types of encounters. So why should you type thing? Yeah. This is why all the women in the movie were like, death now,
death now.
Also, she's not killing these guys. Like, yeah. For a while I thought, okay, she's a serial killer, but we're supposed to like her. And then I was like, oh no, she's not killing them. She's given them a drug.
There is a movie that I was once, somebody lent to me in film studies, and I can't remember the name of it, but it was like a bee horror movie. And it was about these women that would capture predators and castrate them and then send them back out.
Woo!
I was like, this is like the dream. It's not a horror movie. This is like a fantasy film. This is like a...
Right. I think the thing that was unclear about this is I wasn't certain that Winona was just capturing predators. Like the guy from the newsstand, you're saying he was somebody. He was a peeper.
She had his thing. She's like, you are the Parkside peeper. So like, I think she was, and then
he was wearing the same t-shirt.
Yeah. And then she went for the dormitory boys that were like,
yes, year they before, created the, a date rape
date
drug.
Rape drug. And then she drugged them and boom.
Yeah, knocked them all out.
Yeah.
That was awesome. That scene where she comes out of the room, like all these, whatever frat boys are all like yeah outside the room, like all I don't know, waiting in line to have sex with her or something. And then she comes out and like blows her like pixie dust on them, which is basically this drug. And they all go down, or maybe I don't know, she drugged them and then they drink. Started to go down. And you're just like, yes. Winona's taking control.
It's pretty cool.
But what I was unclear on was the guy that she didn't mean to kill, who died and fell over the thing. I wasn't sure. He was looking for his soulmate, wasn't he? But was he doing something creepy? I don't really remember.
I can't remember why she was like, she just assumed that he was going to be like a monster, and then she realized that he was probably fine. She wasn't going to kill him, I don't
think. Right. Yeah, she wasn't. She had the dust she was going to blow on him, but then she stopped, and then he got scared and fell over the railing. And she was like, oh, that's a shame. Kind of. Not exactly what she said.
Basically.
Pretty much.
There's a part in this where, well, his name's Roderick Blank.
Oh, right.
Simon Baker. But he has to not, because he realizes that Winona's his last, you know, so he figures it's going to kill her.
Right.
So they say, okay, don't have sex with anybody.
Yeah, because you've got 20 people in between.
You got 20 people, just don't have sex. There's 2 weeks. You got, you know, just and wait, and then we'll catch her, and then you have two, you know, you can do whatever you want. And then you don't have to worry about it. They're like, okay. So he tries to wait, and then he is going for a bike ride. This is so stupid.
It really is stupid.
And he crashes his bike, and, you know, at the same time, you know, a group of schoolgirls who are all 18 and 19 years, 18 years old, discover his body. And, you know, they think, you know, a great way for all of them to lose their virginity is to have sex with him. All of them. All right. 19 of
An
them.
An incapacitated man who's fallen off.
So
his
they
bike.
Take advantage of him and...
they take him onto the school bus and they line up, and each one of them has sex with him. So there was 19, as they put it, virgins. Because they were to lose their virginity. Line up. And then he's like, okay, well, that's only 19 because there's 20 people that were like in between me and Winona. And then they're like, but what about the bus driver? Like, wasn't somebody driving them? And then he remembers, and it was Retta.
Yeah, it was Retta. I was like, holy shit, that's Retta.
I was so excited. That's one moment that Matt watched, because I was like, oh my God, it's Retta. And he was like, what?
I was like, what the hell? Came Retta? Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, it was great. I enjoyed the Retta moment. The Retta reveal. This movie also had Winona writing a diary again. Because when she started talking to Roderick at the end about her whole, like, the meaning behind what she was doing, she was talking about her diary, or, like, what she was writing about it. And
You see her writing in a journal and you're like, that's Winona.
And her writing gets more frantic as it goes along, which is also like, I think Heather's. Happened in Heather's. Yeah exactly.
Daniel Waters knows.
Yeah, exactly.
How to please his audience.
Daniel Waters and Winona need a journal in there.
Yeah. And also Winona just dressed as Julie Andrews in The Sound of Music.
What about that?
So, like, one of the costumes that her, like, evil husband makes her wear is...
Oh, yeah, her evil husband.
...is The Sound of Music at Julie Andrews, but then she comes in with, like, blood on her face, but, like... Just seeing Winona all these funny, these costumes is kind of funny.
Right. So, yeah, the story she's telling to Roderick is that, like, she had this husband who was abusive and would make her dress up as different women and, like, abuse her, basically,
yeah,
while she was dressed up as these different characters. Which maybe speaks to her dressing up, because she's wearing wigs and stuff.
The
when
whole
she's,
movie, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a, do you remember the one scene where... they're in her hotel room, and I think it's Beta, and he's wearing just one of her wigs casually while talking on the phone. That was so funny. I don't know. Like, oh, Beta doesn't know anything. Patton Oswalt's so funny, too, in this.
Yeah, because he's Patton such Oswalt a is great.
Bozo. Like, when he was acting like the bellboy, and then, like, the woman's asked for directions, and he just throws her directions on the ground, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, fuck, you know, she doesn't give a shit. They give it, the people hand him luggage and he slams it on the ground.
He doesn't even try. He's supposed to just be watching the hotel because that's where she's staying. And well, the other thing about these guys is that they're like some kind of underground operation that's like using this machine to like monitor what's happening or whatever.
Yeah.
But they're going to kill her. Like, that's, mm-hmm. They're like not cops. They're not arresting her. Their plan is to kill her. Beta is from Gilmore Girls.
Oh, that's where he's
from. Australian. He's the Australian guy that's like friends with Logan.
Oh, so that little shit guy. Yeah.
The little shit guy. So he's putting on
like Tucker, not Tucker, but something like that. Like, oh, Crisper.
Now I have to look at what he was. Finn.
Tucker
Crisper. Finn. You know.
Huck and Finn. This is my head.
Oh,
I think this
it's
is
so
what
weird.
Happened.
It says Finn/Quinn. So I don't know if his name was Quinn and then Finn or what. I don't know.
I don't know.
Weird.
Tucker.
Cool.
Okay.
But yes, he's an Australian person playing an American in this because he actually puts on an accent. There you go. Back to Winona's story.
The guy who played Lester was Benvolio, who in Romeo and Juliet. His friend in this. So his sandwich. So he works for a company called Swallows.
Oh right,
his burger making company. But his friend with the combed hair, that was he was Benvolio in Romeo and Juliet.
Claire Danes one.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's only
you're Romeo like and the only one you mean.
Yeah.
Right. I understand. So yeah, we've made it to 2007, and it's starting to look up.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the ending, even the ending I liked. So the two of them, they're talking, and then, you know, Winona is kind of crushing on the guy.
Because he's listening to her.
Yeah.
And being a decent dude.
Yeah, he's being a normal, nice guy. And so, you know, they decide maybe they're going to, like, put each other in a coma, mm-hmm. and that's it'll be nice. But they trick you.
Yes.
You think, okay, they're both, you know, done.
Comad.
Comad. But nope. They wake up and they have a baby.
Yep.
And they live
like
happily
a
ever
toddler,
after.
Or like yeah. a young child who runs yeah. in. Mommy, daddy. She's got long hair, which means time has passed.
Mm-hmm. Time has passed. And they're in love and they have a home and that's it.
And that's why she's the last name on the list.
Mm-hmm.
Not because she killed him. Though he seems like... Like, up for it. Like, up for her killing him. Like, as if, like, oh, I've done all this. I've been so obsessed with sex and not caring about
yeah,
people that
fine
I...
fine with it, yeah.
I'm okay. You can kill me. Because there was a period of time where he was getting all these phone calls from the women he'd slept with, and they were all like, you think that's just paying my, like, insurance is going to get me off your back? And, like,
yeah,
you
yeah.
think that... He did do nice things for all the women to be like, okay, I had sex with you, now I got to find the next woman on the list. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anyway. Ew, there was the moment where he found the porn star who had the name that he thought he was going to have sex with her,
yeah.
and then he accidentally had sex with her grandmother.
And then she died.
And then the grandmother died, and they had the same name.
Yep, yep, yep.
Yeah, that was...
Whoops.
That was right near the beginning where I was like, okay, this is... I understand.
We'll see how this goes,
this is
yeah.
a movie Rekha didn't like, but it got better.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, Winona was great. I really liked her character. I online, a lot of the reviews of this said, like, this would have been a better movie if it was more about her character.
Yeah.
Which is fair.
That's true. A little bit more. A little bit more of Winona.
A little bit more of Winona would have been good. Even a movie about that character might have been interesting as well. But it wasn't bad.
Yeah, there was like voiceovers, like Simon Baker's voiceover in it, which was okay. Everything was fine.
Everything
was fine. That is the
conclusion. Sex and Death 101.
Everything was fine.
Hooray.
Hooray.
Thank God. We needed this.
Yeah, we needed something.
we needed relief.
Need some relief.
Well, next, we're taking a break from Winona movies for one episode to talk to Nigel Goodall, who's the author of a Winona Ryder biography.
Yeah.
That's called Winona Ryder, the biography. From 1998, though. So it's very much like right at the time before we went downhill. It's before... Girl Interrupted. For some reason, I could picture the comma, and all I could come up with was Love Actually.
He didn't mention Girl Interrupted at all when we spoke to him.
Yes, we have already spoken to him.
And I also didn't accidentally use my British accent.
So oh, good job.
I am proud of that.
I'm proud of you as well. he didn't. But also in his book, he does mention Girl Interrupted, because she was like, it was in the works.
Oh, right.
When he wrote the book. So interestingly, reaching for the book, at the end of the book, there's like a filmography and there's a works in progress part of the filmography. So Girl Interrupted is one of them and Lambs of God is the other one.
I've heard of this forever. I mean, that's...
Gillian Armstrong directed... Who
did
she
did Little Women?
Thank you, Little
Women. That's right. I remember seeing that listed on IMDb for a very long time, and I don't think anything ever happened.
Yeah, it never happened. Yeah. There's actually the whole last chapter in this book. There's a big discussion of like all the things she had in the works, and literally none of them except Girl Interrupted became movies.
Ooh,
yeah. So that's, I guess, shows you a little taste of Hollywood and how it works. That like so many things get started up but don't end up happening.
Yup.
Cool. Well, next Winona Wednesday, a little chat with Nigel.
Yes.
Tune back in. And then what? What's the next movie after that?
Is it
It's The Last Word.
Oh.
Don't know what that is.
Me neither.
So we're really in an era, like, you really haven't seen the movies that we're coming up for, right?
No. Okay. I mean, Last Word, I don't know what that is. Yeah.
Cool. Well, I mean, it was nice to have this reprieve, even if we do go back into the sludge after this. We'll just have to discuss what is going on with her career when we get into the enjoyable stuff. Sweet. Well, thanks for being here with us for Sex and Death 101. See you in 2 weeks.
Okay, bye.
Winona Forever is part of the Cage Club Podcast Network. Episodes produced by Chris Landry. Music by No Refunds. Hosted by Lindsay Gibb and Rekha Tulsaram. Contact Rekha and Lindsay at winona@cageclub.me.